Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is getting to become a little bit of a thing where we turn up and someone, one of us or all three of us, are a bit hammered. Are you all right? You're all right, Phil?
I'm a little bit hungover, Tim, but I'm okay.
Time to dig in. JB, on the other hand, has just run to the podcast.
No, I've just been in the gym and I broke a cardinal rule.
You broke a cardinal rule in the gym?
Hold that. Right, what an amazing tease. Right, welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
That World Cup is getting ever closer, and as we get into the business of the Rugby Championship, which is, well, another week done, and we'll be discussing those games and the Pacific Nations Cup and all the talking points that are coming out of Denver and England's training camp and all the stash that keeps getting unveiled. We've got loads to talk about this week with the usual trio of me, Tim, with him, JB.
Good day, Tim.
And with him, Phil.
Hi, Tim.
So, JB, what cardinal rule did you break in the gym? I'm wondering what it might be. Did you text in between every set?
Did you do some curls in the squat rack?
No,
oh,
I didn't.
I hate that. I saw a funny little thing online, though, of someone who... Oh, my God, that annoys me so much. People in the squat rack just doing... Oh, they were doing shrugs, shoulder shrugs today. I was like, just pick the bar up off the floor.
Get out of my way.
Get
I want to do some proper exercises.
Exactly.
I'm a bit of a shrugger
in the squat rack. But I saw someone who, just for a joke, and this was online, just quite a funny picture, they went into the preacher curl thing and did squats in there.
Preacher curl.
The little ones where you put the back of your arms on the pad and you just do the bicep curls.
Yeah.
Someone just went right in there, really awkwardly,
doing
did some squats. Just doing
lowering themselves onto the pad and then...
Yeah, like a seated squat.
Yeah, like a seated squat.
Wow.
Just not to do it, but just because they were so annoyed with everyone in the squat rack doing bicep curls. Anyway, JB, what cardinal rule did you break?
I approached another man in the gym.
Uh-oh.
There's awkward, like, should I say hello? Should I not say hello?
Do you lift, bro?
Basically, yeah, that's how it was.
So this is not someone that you know?
No, don't know. saw this guy, massive fella. And then, my spider sense started going off. Rugby shorts.
Are you trying to recruit?
So it's one of those, you all right, bro?
Do you lift?
Yeah, do you lift? who'd you play for? Result. Just moved to Manchester. Absolutely huge. Second row, just what we need. So then it's like, can I have your number? So I got his number. I was like, I'm Jay, by the way, and I'll be texting him every day.
Are you hungry? Actually, should we go straight to cocktails? Well, on that one, Jay.
Shame.
No one's safe. No one's safe. And actually, because I've got this platform, if you want to play rugby and you're near Broughton Park in Manchester, please come and play rugby.
Very good.
Good. Right, Rugby Championship then. Which game do you want to start with? I think we should start with New Zealand, South Africa.
Okay. We're going chronological, yeah?
Well, not even that. Just that's the one I want to talk about most.
Go for it.
Because that was... I mean, South Africa, are they going to be sitting there scratching their head? Two narrow defeats? Or will they actually be going, no, it's all right, everything's in hand? Or will there be started? Is there creaks appearing?
I think the press in South Africa will be putting a lot of pressure on them. And possibly undue pressure. Because I've only watched the extended highlights because I was at the wedding. But it looked like they put in a very good performance and lost narrowly, as you said, in the last minute. Yeah. So I don't think it should be panic stations.
Well, they've lost.
But they're still
0-2.
Yeah, they're 0-2. They'll be fighting out for the wooden spoon or whatever the Rugby Championship equivalent is with Argentina next weekend.
Oh, we need to know what that is, by the way, because I didn't know that it was called the Freedom Cup that New Zealand and South Africa played for, by the way.
Well, first things first. Everyone in South Africa is very, very keen to see Jan de Villiers come back in, as they should be. But those two centres they've got are the real deal.
They are brilliant, aren't they?
As Phil was telling us a few weeks
ago. Your boy, who I keep forgetting his name, the outside centre.
Creel.
Jesse Creel. That line.
We're two caps in now and we've got two wonder tries.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, he only plays 13 for big games. He usually chills out at 15.
15.
and then his little mate at 12, or not so little mate. Actually, I can't really work it out because he looks normal size.
He's so strong. Yeah.
And it was a real eye-opener. And I know everyone's going to laugh at me. I think New Zealand are sort of treading water. Yeah, they're winning. They weren't as convincing as Australia against Argentina. And they only won this game through a dirty little trick.
That was streetwise.
The line out.
Yeah.
That was line out. That was beautiful.
Intelligent. I
love it when stuff straight off the training ground that you've obviously practiced works.
Well, yeah. Don't we all? But if this is America and this is American football, you would call that a gadget play or a gimmick play. And that basically means that they've run out of ideas and they've basically surrendered their basics.
No, I completely disagree.
Gone away from the fundamentals.
That innovation is what you celebrate. You don't knock it.
We were talking last week about Matt Field and his usefulness.
Mm.
And you want someone, like McCaw's called that line out, or whoever's called that line out, knows the area of the pitch, knows the way that the Springboks are defending, knows that it's got a good chance of working. And it's won them a game. It's won them a test match away from home. Against South Africa.
I don't think they can do it for much longer because they've got this try from a line-out, McCaw scored it. They've got the last one, which McCaw scored. And that was a kind of gimmicky, wasn't a gimmick play, but they were rolling one way and then they came off the other side. That was a better play.
I'm kind of a little bit with Phil. I don't think this is a move that they've tried in general to try against anyone. I think they've actually analysed, this is what I'm assuming, they've analysed South Africa in the way they defend and have gone, there's a little weakness there if we can try and split two islands front and back, and I think we can expose them there. So I say fair play, and we've talked about the level of detail that a club rugby Saracens will go into. I loved it. I could imagine that's hours of work that a line-out coach has put in.
Yeah, the line-out coach would have been loving that.
Well, the line-out coach has basically won the last two games, so you know, he's worth every penny.
Yeah.
I also thought that South Africa... Oh, actually, no. Let's talk about South Africa in a different aspect, which is South Africa literally played three sevens. And we're talking about Australia playing three sevens. Well, it's actually South Africa that went and did exactly the same thing.
Or in South African, that would be they played three sixes.
Three sixes.
But three open sides.
Yes.
Although Berger is more... He's not a traditional open side, really,
no,
is
he?
No, he's
not. Does he wear seven on his back usually?
He does normally wear seven, so he's normally a six.
A blind side, if you like.
And Francois Lowe is like kind of a six and a half.
Yeah, it's easy to say they're playing three open sides, but when one of the open sides is like 6'4" and, and it doesn't matter.
18 stone.
Yeah. Francois Lowe is such an athlete.
Yeah.
And Brousseau, did anyone see his steal?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see his face? Like the joy on his face as he's just ripping this ball away.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the uncontested scrums that I think... And the dispute about the uncontested scrums?
Right, I'll admit, I've only read about the uncontested scrums. I watched the whole game, it just didn't click.
So they went to uncontested scrums after Yanni Duplessis, mm-hmm. who started at tight head, went off, and then Vincent Koch mm-hmm. later went off. Now, Trevor Nyankane,
yeah.
Came on, who can play either side, but because he was down as a loose head prop in the subs bench, it meant that they had to go to uncontested scrums.
Oh.
Jerome Garson, referee, forced them to go to uncontested scrums.
So South Africa wanted to carry on playing?
South Africa would have wanted, because their scrum was dominant.
Yeah.
And they could have put all sorts of pressure on, or continued to put all sorts of pressure, but that lack of pressure allowed New Zealand to clear their lines and... Because
it's a technicality. It's one of those you just think a little bit of common sense. But was that South Africa's fault not listing him as being able to play both sides?
I'm not sure whether it is. He was down as number 17, which is the loose head, reserve loose head.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there is an option to say, right, this guy is reserve loose head, but he can cover both sides.
Look what's happening.
I know.
Surely that's for the referee to say to the captain, can this guy play? Do you have a player that can replace this injured player? Yes, we do. And it's not for Jerome Garcés to decide whether he's...
It's because he wasn't listed as such before the
game.
That's the problem.
It's so
stupid, isn't it?
Let the boys play. There you go.
But the Springboks will be furious about that tiny little error, because that potentially cost them the game, because it allowed, when New Zealand had Whitelock off, and South Africa would have been wanting to put loads of pressure on them to clear their lines, get the field position, and then build up for the McCaw try.
Just hypothetically speaking, say if they went to uncontested scrums and they did that, say, I don't know, 20 minutes to go, so a 60-minute mark, would it be an absolute idiot play if New Zealand say, well, we're not scrimmaging anymore, 45-year-old Woodcock off, whoever else is off, and then bring on two back rows?
I don't know what the laws are. A man can play.
You can't.
The front row if it's.
No. I think you can only replace a front row with a front row.
Front row.
Even if it's the scrums are uncontested.
Is that right?
And if you don't have anyone to replace them,
do you go down a man?
You have to go down a man.
Yes, you do actually, because I have faked injury once in a cup final, because we were getting hammered in scrums. I was playing tight head. We were down two men, so...
You're admitting to being so unsporting in a cup final.
Cup final.
We'll do anything to win our little regional club amateur cup final.
Yeah, and the best thing was, there's loads of kids watching too. So they brought me off, and the referee made a mistake of not taking me off at plus another, I think, or something like that. Or if
well,
I
no,
go off, no one else
you
can
go
come
off,
back
no
on.
One else can come
yeah,
back
because we got a yellow card at the same time. That's why.
Oh,
so
wow.
We went down to like 13 men, so we went to uncontested and we still lost. We lost in the last play of the game. Probably deserved.
Justice was served.
Exactly right.
but by the way, we've been critical of South Africa's stash. I'm not a big fan of their World Cup jersey that
no,
got
not
unveiled.
Really.
But I just have to say, those blazers that the coaching team and then the players wear.
Yeah.
Bravo.
It's just first class. It looks like it's straight off the head of the Henley Regatta, the sides of the River Thames.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
I tell you, the other thing I noticed about the kit is there wasn't a black boot in sight. I mean, if you look at the South African kit, it looks like they're off out to a rave.
The neon boots.
Yeah, they've all got neon boots.
Richie McCaw got another try. 140 test matches he's played. Now... I mentioned that they won the Freedom Cup. It was the least enthusiastic trophy win celebrations I've ever seen. It's quite a funny video knocking around online of just the team ambling over to Richie McCaw after he's picked it up.
I've seen that.
And they just sit down next to it looking bored out of their minds. But they've done it again.
Yeah.
Another win. Not playing brilliantly, but eking it out.
I think the treading water. Their time will come.
It's
going to come.
I like what they're doing as well. They're rotating the team a bit. They're getting some...
Sopoanga in.
Yeah, and
James
Broadhurst, game time, Cody Taylor coming in.
Yeah.
It's good. They're doing all the right things, I think.
The one, the player who impressed me for South Africa outside of the centres was Diego. I thought he had a really strong game for...
The fat second row.
Yeah.
The fat baby face second row.
There's one time when him and Etzebeth
smashed Broadhurst.
Oh,
God,
night.
They smashed him.
It was ace.
And just carried him backwards.
And I kind of felt like I pretty much felt like the theme for the entire game, except for when that late try went in from Richie McCaw.
They did feel like they were just on top. They had the edge of the two, but obviously not on the scoreboard.
But that doesn't matter to New Zealand. But
here's my theory. Okay? Yeah. New Zealand have got to do whatever they've got to do in the World Cup. South Africa now go and play Argentina. They might get the win, they might not. But those two centres, who are basically a new pairing, they get a bit better. Diego gets more experience. As a team, they start to grow. They come into the World Cup. They then get one of the best eights in the world. And then they've got four warm-up games. I mean, who's going to trouble South Africa in that group?
They'll have... No one. No one will really. They'll have a physical game against Samoa.
Yeah, of course.
And then that'll be about it.
But realistically...
Scotland...
And then you're going to have this powerhouse of a team... Who are only going to get stronger and stronger and stronger into the knockout stages?
Well, they play whoever finishes second in England and Wales group.
And Martin Johnson describes the World Cup as two seasons, but effectively the group stage and the knockout is kind of two separate.
Oh, it makes sense.
Two completely separate entities. Now, here's a fact for you, and I'm going to take over from Phil's. I bet Phil will have known this fact anyway. No. New Zealand, South Africa or Australia side has ever won a rugby championship and a World Cup in the same year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Another fact
Yes,
Phil. Just from that game. Going into that game, Heinrik Brusseau had played New Zealand four times, beaten New Zealand four times. He was, had a 100% record going into that game against New Zealand.
Fact.
Wow.
I can't believe any other player in the world has got that kind of record or and did have that kind of record.
Another stat that emerged this week, since 2003, so what we're talking 12, nearly 13 years, New Zealand have spent a full cumulative 10-year period at number one in the world rankings.
Fact.
Yeah.
So could they arguably be, if they were to win in this year, a couple of months, could they arguably be the best sporting team ever? Are they already that?
Interesting. I mean, there's
not many teams that have had such a dynasty.
I mean, it's a strong argument. I'd say Toulon probably trump that in terms of won the top competition three times on the bounce.
Yeah, but not the longevity. Like Leinster won 3 in 4 years, didn't they?
Yeah, Leinster would. I mean, but in all of sports, yeah, I mean, quite possibly. Quite possibly, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
To be that dominant. Right, we'll get back into the... Well, bear in mind, there's that fact in mind that no team has won the Rugby Championship and the World Cup in the same year. We'll get to Australia-Argentina in just a second because it is going to be Australia against New Zealand in that shootout for the victory in 2 weeks' time. But quickly then, we'll get through, as we're doing our best all-time 15s for the clubs in the Premiership. We're down to fifth place in the league, which is Exeter Chiefs. So in the professional era, the best 15 players that have worn the Exeter Chiefs shirt. And thank you very much for the help you've given us on this at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You've helped steer us a little bit in some of our decisions. So I'm just going to go through. Tell me if you disagree with this. Fullback Luke Arscott.
Apparently we can't have him, but yes, fullback Luke Arscott.
That's one Exeter Chiefs fan who won't tell us any information says that there are reasons why we don't want Luke Arscott, but...
Because his brother skips leg days.
A massive upper body though,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah.
Matt Jess, one of the best players ever. He could well be Exeter Chiefs' best ever player.
Mm. Yeah, and he's been there a long time
as well. A long time. Him and Jack Noel on the wings.
What about Dorman?
Dorman hasn't made this 15. But Witten and Schumark in the centres. Gareth Steenson at 10.
No Slade.
Slade's had one season.
Yeah, Slade's had not much time. I think he will be. The problem is they've only had like four seasons in the Premiership.
Yeah, and you've got to go with their highest ever finish. Oh, hang on, is this the highest finish or is it a joint?
Yeah, okay.
Go on, sorry.
Well, no, that's all right. You can disagree. You can say honourable mention for Slade. Maybe you think he should have got in there.
In a couple of years, he definitely will be.
Thomas at 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And forwards, back row of Big Dave Viewers at 8.
100%.
Tom Johnson at 6.
Completely agree.
James Skaysbrook at 7.
Oh. Mm. Nice.
There was a period when they first get, because he played for them in the Championship.
Yeah.
Got them promoted and played in every single game. For 2.5-3 years in the Premiership, he never missed a single game. And I think he, as much as anyone, epitomised kind of everything. He wasn't a big name. He'd come from Bath and sort of had never been used. And then found a new home in Exeter, who loved him, took care of him, and he just was hard as nails.
Fortunately, I'll always hold it against him that he's got silly tattoos.
The stars on his elbows.
Pathetic.
But but I'll always hold it for him that my missus does a bit of painting, and when we were living in, my brother played 21s at Bath with him, and he bought some artwork off us. So he's got one of my wife's paintings on his wall, so I'll have that.
The other name for... at the back row, number 8 could be Richard Baxter.
That's what I was going to
put. But he only played like maybe one season.
And also, if you put the Premiership team, I mean, you're probably not as good as
him. Yeah, you get an easy ride, don't you?
Will Johnson played for Leicester.
The other one that was a fan's favourite, but he was only there for a couple of years. But he was awesome in the time he was there. Andy Beattie, but obviously not in the Premiership.
And also, Waldron's like the Premiership's top try scorer.
Yeah.
From 8.
You've got
just one season, though.
Well, yeah, but because it's such a good new club.
Yeah.
It's not a new club, but you know.
Rugby Podcast, you can disagree with us if you want, Exeter Chiefs fans.
Second row, there's only one.
Dean Mum.
Correct.
And Tommy Hayes, former captain.
Fine. Yeah.
In the front row, Chris Budgeon.
Nice.
And then I thought Hoani Tui was probably the best in the professional era at Loosehead, but I don't know, maybe you disagree. It was a bit tough to pick, and I didn't know about the hooker too much as well. I didn't know whether you go Neil Clark because he spent the time in the early days there.
You've got to win a cup final tomorrow, and all you've got is the players who've played for Exeter recently. That's how I kind of do it. So, I mean, I suppose Yendl is a backup, but he has got game time.
Yeah,
he's done well.
Or Mullet-Dickie.
Mullet-Dickie.
At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, who's sixth place in the table then? Was that Wasps?
I think it was.
That's
Wasps.
Going to be a great team.
Oh, that will be a great team.
Do you want to take that one, Phil?
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Your eyes are glistening at the thought of it, having to pick that. You're happy now, but then when you've got to pick between those players.
Yeah.
Well, they've got some amazing players, in fact. Just
you put Delalio at blindside?
No chance.
Joe Worsley?
No chance.
Seven. Delalio, Worsley, Nathan Hughes. Or Betson. You can throw Betson in there.
Betson. Volley. Anyway, we'll get into that next week. If you're a Wasps fan, Rugby Podcast on Twitter, tell Phil who should make the 15. X the Chiefs. If you disagree with my selection, then get in touch and let me know. Argentina, Australia. I'm feeling like the bubble might have burst a little bit for Argentina. They beat Australia last year.
Yeah, but this is a different Australia team, and they're very, very good. Now, first things first, Argentina came out. They smashed Australia in both the anthems and the kit. I mean, that kit, I do know what I love.
That kit is gorgeous.
That away kit is lovely.
The light blue details. Mm. Now, I wasn't aware. I mean, I'm an idiot, so, you know, that's that. But I wasn't aware that blue and white hoops clashed with green and gold, but apparently it does. And you do need to wear your change kit. So that's what happened there.
In the Argentina play in the World Cup against someone, and we're not going to get to see that change kit, apparently, because Argentina elected to be the home team. I think it was against...
I don't know.
I don't know who they're playing, but they've elected to be the home team. They won a coin toss and they're the home team.
Sorry, just something made me giggle. They played last night in Estadio Malvinas. Now, I'm pretty sure that translates into Stadium Falklands, right?
Stadium Falkland Islands.
Stadium Falkland Islands.
But it doesn't, because they don't recognise the Falkland Island. It is Las Malvinas.
Well, then I'm not going to
recognise Las Malvinas.
The anthems were brilliant. The passion is... I love it. But and for 40 minutes, you know, they gave a really good account of themselves.
Well, what was it at half time? Like 6-9 or something?
10-6, 10-9.
There wasn't much in it.
No, it was a few points in it. Yeah, 10-8 maybe. I don't know.
Australia scored two converted tries in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So to give that, it gives a perception, the score line gives a perception that it was very one sided.
Yeah.
Also, before the game, did you spot that James Slipper? When they showed up his little, when they go through the team and show the picture and they showed him up as 78 kgs.
You said proper 78 kgs.
Wow, no wonder he struggled. There was one scrum, and actually Australia's scrum did really well. They're by no means the joke that we always say about, you know, Australian scrummaging or rest of it. At one point, about 60 minutes in, the Argentina scrum was so dominant that they won a penalty, but instead of taking the penalty, they went from basically their own 22 to the opposition 10. And it's all off like...
40-metre scrum.
Well, no. It was a scrum which pushed them back about 5 metres because they're in such disarray. When they broke off the scrum, there's all sorts of space.
They just didn't want to put the ball in touch, did they? The whole game, Argentina.
They were not interested, which
unfortunately, that did mean they kicked one straight down Izzy Folau's throat and an easy two passes and Tamani's in.
Yeah, do not kick to Israel Folau.
Well, okay, so Quade Cooper got a yellow card.
Yeah.
Fine, whatever. I mean, it was one of those ones which the Argentine player shouldn't have gone down. The Argentines love a whinge. Have you noticed that? They love a whinge and they love to boo the kickers. Anyway.
All right, Clarkson.
Right, so Izzy Folau is chasing a high ball. The Argentine fullback goes up, his back is turned, and Izzy Folau just clatters right into him. He's in the air, and the guy falls backwards onto Israel Folau. To me, if you're going to red card Jared Payne, that has to be a card.
But the guy landed, the guy landed safely.
Well, no, he landed on Israel Folau's knees.
Yeah, I know, but that
on
is,
his back.
But the guy, Israel Folau hit him in the air.
Yeah.
And that was a penalty. The guy landed. So quite, if you land quite ball... comfortably, safely. He landed. He didn't land in a dangerous way.
Oh, I think
that's why he landed.
He was lucky not to be injured.
Could have been a yellow potentially. I agree. I get
it's not
there.
Red.
Definitely not.
Definitely
red.
Not red. Definitely I not thought, red. That's interesting. And I quite like the way that it was officiated. But then I think, fast forward to Quade Cooper's yellow. That's nowhere near a yellow card.
Yeah.
Especially because the whoever it was who got tackled just threw themselves to the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. The Adam Ashley Cooper try was something special, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, I think we should call it the Israel Folau try, because that's basically what it was.
But the quick hands from Kirtley Beale as well. He got the ball and, man, diving on his back, and he just... Lovely, delicate little pass.
You just mentioned,
and then the finish.
Yeah, exactly. You just mentioned Kirtley Beale there, and something I was thinking earlier is, and I think we might have mentioned it before, but the Southern Hemisphere seem to just do these players. And you mentioned Jesse Creel goes 15-13. What is it about those Southern Hemisphere sides, well, the Sansa teams, New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, that mean that they can just have these players interchangeable in the back line? So comfortable wherever they play. You know, Ben Smith, chuck him on the wing. Yeah, he still looks international class.
Yeah.
Or a fullback.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think to a certain degree it might be to do with the opposition, because they did interchange and they bought Quade Cooper on at 12. Now, Quade Cooper's a marvellous, marvellous player. But why weren't Argentina just exploiting Foley and Cooper? Everything I had would be
down that channel.
Because you
put Australia can put Pocock there and just stop everything.
Guess so.
Just use that. Mm. There were some really good tries in that game, because the Tamani try the start was great.
Tamani, is there a player in world rugby whose name most suits the accent where he comes from?
Tamani.
I like this one. There was a picture of Dean Mum with MILF at the top. Mum, I'd like to field. He's back, isn't he?
He is awesome. He did a great impression of Dean Mum as soon as he got on the field. He was mega.
Yeah, that was quality, wasn't it?
God, tell you what, Exeter will miss him.
Yeah.
He's such a good player.
Jeff Parling's pretty tidy, though.
He is, but Jeff Parling does things differently to Dean Mum. He's a good replacement, but he's not got that running game.
Yeah. But do you want a second row who can... Score 40-yard tries, or do you want one who's going to win 99% of your line-outs, who's going to grind it out?
Well, luckily, they're not mutually exclusive, because Dean Mum does both.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty...
I think he might be, like, the number one signing for Australia come the World Cup. I think he's a brilliant player.
Just an interesting point from this game, about the scrums particularly, the Australian scrum. Do you know who the Australian forwards coach is at the moment?
I think I do, actually.
It is an Argentinian.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Ledesma, is it?
Mario Ledesma.
Yeah, that's
all. Yeah. Yes, of course it is.
So he's been brought in to shore up their scrum and obviously line out and everything.
I think he just showed up on day one just disgusted of what he said.
If he had any hair, he'd be ripping it out. Yeah.
What is
throwing
this?
Rule book on the floor.
He called the front row over for a meeting.
And then dismissed them.
Got them in a circle, spat on the floor and walked off. Yeah.
You're all re-interviewing for your jobs.
So Argentina, New Zealand, we'll talk about the matchup next week. But one of those two teams, Australia and New Zealand, will be the Rugby Championship victors in the showdown in Sydney.
Have you seen the Quade Cooper tweet from this morning?
Was it definitely from Quade Cooper's account?
Yes.
Have we verified? It was definitely an... Because I saw it, Phil, and thought, that must be a fake account. It can't be real. So Quade, apparently he's not there now.
No, he's deleted it, but he has put up an apology on his account saying, sorry for the offensive language.
So it said, and I quote Quade Cooper, invite me to your next team discussion. And I'm not going to do the accent.
No, please do.
All right, I will. Invite me to the next team discussion and then ask me how much I give up. About team selection, zero given. He must be talking about his own squad.
He must be talking about, because he's in Argentina at the moment. Like, what?
He's not going to be being invited in by the Argentinians squad chat.
What? I don't fully understand. I don't know what it...
Has he been out on the beers, do you reckon?
He said, maybe.
It's just...
Oh, and is he upset for not starting, or what's the gist here?
I don't know. It was after the game, I think.
Tell you what, if my job was fly half and kicker, and I watched Bernard Foley kick all day, I'd be upset.
Invite me to your next team discussion, then ask me how much I give an F about your team selection.
So zero.
Was
Fs
he invited
given.
To a team discussion and then not selected?
I don't know, but it has caused some speculation about this ARU deal that's supposedly on the table and the Toulon deal that's supposedly off.
Marabouzelad getting excited
somehow,
again?
Yeah, might somehow turn itself around the other direction.
Quid, we just put another zero on the end. Maybe.
Because that the deal, the ARU deal, is very interesting from the Sevens' point of view. Because both him and Henry Speight have, in the last few weeks, or whether Quade Cooper has actually signed his deal, they've both got deals on the table that allows them to play in the Sevens tournaments next year.
In the Olympic Games.
To then qualify enough tournaments to play in the Olympic Games.
Ah.
So Australia are having this push for the Olympic Games. It'll be interesting to see which other of the countries.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just follow.
Quade Cooper wants to play sevens.
Yeah. He wants to win a gold medal.
Well, you've got to be very
careful. Everyone wants to win a...
Yeah, agreed. But you've got to be very careful what you wish for. Because it's such a completely different game. I think you can't play high-level sevens without ruining your 15s game.
I don't think ruining...
I think someone like Quade Cooper...
An outside back can get away with it. But say if you're like a flanker come sevens player, you've got to make your decision.
Yeah. Agreed. You'll be one other for that. But outside backs and someone like Quade Cooper who can... throw the ball about and step and do basically everything.
Crikey.
He doesn't tackle, so that's not really an issue.
So, in the coming Olympics, will Great Britain have a team? Will it be a Lions Sevens team?
It's not a Lions Sevens team because Ireland are separate.
Okay, well, they're not going to win.
And then...
Great Britain and Northern Ireland, it would be, but...
Did we get Tommy Bell?
Well, there's another issue. This question was asked on Twitter and I did some digging. And the Northern Irish players are... contracted to the IRU. So they would be eligible to play for the Great Britain team, but the IRU have said they can't play. So as things stand, Tommy Bowe isn't allowed to play because the IRU won't let him. Which is very... If I was Tommy Bowe or
so
Trimble...
So it's basically Wales, England and Hogg.
That's how I
read it. Wow, that's quite exciting. I bet Tim Visser's pretty handy at sevens, though.
Yeah, because he could play as a prop instead because he's a big boy.
We'll do a bit more digging on that one, but let's change tack. We don't know what's going to come of the Quade Cooper thing. If anything, we'll wait and see what gives with that one. But more stuff out of the England camp in Denver, and more concerning Sam Burgess. So last week, of course, Stuart Lancaster, as we talked about on the podcast, was saying we're treating him as a centre. Mike Ford from Bath has then asked, Stuart Lancaster sees Sam Burgess as a centre. What do you think? He says, no, he's a blindside.
It's completely right.
Yeah, it is right. As I said last week, all I think Lancaster is saying is he cannot consider him as a six because he can't jump in the line-out at the moment. So he can only consider him as a centre, which means he won't go to the World Cup.
Could Rob Shaw not do that jumping role a bit more? Because Lancaster said the six in their line-out is so important.
Yeah.
But...
I'm sure he could.
Everyone else in that England team can jump. I mean, he can probably...
No, Vunipola and Ben Morgan can't. That's the point.
Ben Morgan is looking lean.
No,
at the
he can't. That's why the six is so important, because you've got two massive lumps.
Yeah.
Well, they've also said Billy Vunipola's fitter than he's ever been.
But he still weighs...
It's all relative.
Yeah.
North of 130 kg.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So even with Courtney Laws and Dave Atwoods or Parlins or
Lansbury...
Who
have I seen go up who's unfeasibly large? Oh, Skelton. Skelton.
And he is a big boy.
He's huge.
Yeah,
he's 146 kg, something like that.
Yeah, Skelton. I'm sure I've seen someone else go up.
But it's also about speed. Like, they can lift Billy. Billy occasionally jumps for Saracens, but as a dummy jumper, it never goes to him because he can never get up fast enough. That's the issue. Skelton is 6'10". So he doesn't need to get up as fast because his reach is so good.
What I think this demonstrates, this whole thing, Mike Ford saying that, Stuart Lancaster saying that, is that I feel sorry for Sam Burgess. And the reason I feel sorry for him is because a deal couldn't be struck that the RFU wanted to be struck, which was that they paid a little bit more of the money to get him over, but then they had a little bit more of the coaching. As a result, it means Sam Burgess hasn't had access to the England coaches all season, which is what Stuart Lancaster wanted in the first place. He wanted him to come over from Rugby League, and he wanted the RFU to take him away at times and do extra coaching outside of his stuff with Bath to develop him in. And if they wanted him as if they wanted him as a 12, you just give him Andy Farrell. Andy Farrell is your his shadow, and Mike Catt.
Even with that, even if they said, right, you can have Sam Burgess all you want, they're going to have Sam Burgess in a field on his own with Mike Catt. There's only so much good work you can do. Leave him at Bath and let the people that know stuff do things with him.
Yeah, just I've seen as much game time as possible. That is the most important thing.
Yeah, I've seen him at centre, and it's not a pretty sight. No. I've seen him at six, and I'm very excited.
He's a proficient Premiership centre.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be on England's radar as a centre based on his Premiership performances.
I think Rob Shaw could be a proficient Premiership centre.
There's something about it. There's something about this whole thing. I mean, Phil, as soon as Stuart Lancaster said that we're considering him as a centre, you wrote him off of the World Cup squad.
Oh, categorically. Short of catastrophe of injuries.
Yeah, you think he's gone straight away in the first tranche of people that go from this 45-man squad.
Yeah, and if that's the case as well, if there's an injury to the 45-man squad, squad that goes, he will not be the first man called up. Which is why I think it's a far
No, do you know what? I think he's gonna last longer than Billy Twelve Trees, and I think he's gonna last longer than Kyle Eastmond.
If you think,
I just sense that he's going to.
Oh my word! Imagine you need a centre in the World Cup final.
At some point, he's going to play
Sam Burgess rather than those two. You deserve everything you get.
Facing off against Fekitoa and Sonny Bill.
Yeah.
Or Marnonu and Conrad Smith.
Yeah. in the same game,
Andy Farrell.
Useless. Wasn't a good centre.
He went to a World Cup.
But that was the dark years of England. Yeah. Even though they made a World Cup final.
Oh, yes. He played in a World Cup final. Andy Farrell played in a World Cup final. Right. Sam Burgess, though, I have to give him credit for one thing, for sure. A bit of banter. So
I think I might have seen this.
There's a picture of James Haskell with his top off, flexing, and at a baseball game, I'm assuming a Denver someone.
Denver
Oreos?
Nuggets, is it? No, Dunkin' Nuggets is the... Oreos is...
Is it Orioles?
No, they are Baltimore. Denver Rockies, I think? Denver.
Anyway, whatever the Denver baseball team is.
The Nuggets are the basketball team, aren't they?
Yeah.
I need to find out now. Let's stop this podcast to find out.
James Haskell was flexing top off, and Sam Burgess has replied to his Instagram picture saying, has there been a robbery? Looks like someone stole your chest. that's the picture. Yeah. That's the picture.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Tell you what, Haskell's going places. I can't wait for him to actually retire so we can do podcasts and sell more coffee and be more in like the public in the public eye.
Have you seen his picture, his profile picture on Instagram?
Nope. I want to though.
It's there.
He's got a bigger chest there.
Haskell has got a pretty big chest.
Such a lad.
It's like him at a music festival, tops off, sunglasses on. That's what we want to see more of.
Yes, we do want to see more of that. But I love Haskell as a bloke, and I think he's a solid player. Personally, World Cup final, I don't want Haskell in my England team.
I do.
I know you love him, but that's fine.
Colorado Rockies, told you.
Colorado Rockies, there you very go. Good. I probably wouldn't have him as well, but...
pick him above Sam. I don't know.
I would definitely pick him above Sam Burgess.
That's six, but Burgess is
centre. I want the three best available players in the back row.
Pick your four England centres for the World Cup now. Go, JB.
So starters, come back to me.
I would have Barrett and Joseph starting. I would have Slade as a utility in there, and probably maybe Burrell, but I don't think his passing is good enough, so maybe Eastmond.
I'm good.
Maybe Eastmond.
I would go Barrett, Joseph, Burrell, and probably Slade with Burgess like first reserve if someone gets injured.
Eastmond, Joseph, a guy we just said, Burrell, and
I'll tell you who I'm... Sorry.
I'm open to the third. I'm not that bothered.
The one I was most disappointed about who left the squad in that first wave was...
Elliot Daly.
Gas
to burn.
And he can play on the wing as well.
Slade.
And full back.
Yeah. Slade's the one that I'd be taking.
Yeah, he played 13 to 15. Gas to burn. One of the best...
He is one of those guys, like I was just talking about, in the Southern Hemisphere. We don't have many players who are kind of adaptable and can play across the whole back line.
We probably don't rate them.
And he's the only one who is a like for like with Jonathan Joseph. Mm. If Jonathan Joseph goes out, you've got to kind of change
everything.
Tact.
Yeah.
Good point. Right, well, we'll see. I think it's 2 weeks before they announce the nine players that are leaving the party before they come back for the matches against France.
We're only 2 weeks away, aren't we, from the Wales-Ireland game?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Okay, right, we've got Stash Watch still to do. We've also got some Pacific Nations Cup matches to talk about. Let's talk Stash.
Let's do that.
Hold on, there we go. Stash! Let's talk about the kit that Sam Burgess will be wearing next season in the Aviva Premiership. Bath Rugby's kit has been unveiled by Canterbury.
Very nice indeed.
Do you know what? It's keep it simple, stupid, isn't it? It's like...
Correct.
Simple. They've got the classic blue, black and white hoops.
Hoops on socks as well. Simple things.
Gold. I love thin striped socks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have a more thin stripe than Bath having, but I love...
I don't know. I don't mind a chunkier stripe on my sock.
Yeah, I think they've got it just not too chunky. Mm. Not too chunky.
You don't want it too chunky. Yeah. A few thirds would be nice.
But the gold detail... It was the pick. Phil was quite right. Phil said that it got the kit did get leaked on a key ring.
Quite an incredible way to get
it. And it was the kit that got leaked on the key ring.
I'm so happy with my brand new Sam Burgess vest.
Oh, yeah, you came round to my house the other night.
I've been
round
to Phil's house in it, and I've been to the gym twice in it. I coached one session of rugby in it.
Has it been washed yet?
Yeah, it's been washed.
sure.
Yeah, JB got the vest that Sam Burgess was modelling in the pictures earlier this summer.
What did you tell me about the sizes, Jay?
Oh, yeah. So I put on this vest. It's extra large, and it's pretty tight.
There's not really much
room for me to manoeuvre. And my wife goes, what size is Sam Burgess? I went, large.
It's the other size up.
Correct.
I'm not sure I believe that.
No, I'm not having
that. It's 100% true.
It's going to be up there with our favourite kits for the coming season in the Premiership, isn't it? The Bath one.
Well, yeah. Gloss has not announced theirs yet. Oh, I can't wait for this.
That's this week, isn't it?
Is it?
It must be soon.
Hold on to your hats.
It's either going to be the best kit you've ever seen.
I'm going for the best kit ever.
Another complete disaster.
Or as bad as the two they've unveiled already. Claremont Auvergne, what do you make of their kit? Cudmore was holding it up in a little picture.
It's reasonable. I mean, if you're going to have an out-there pattern, which I don't like, camouflage is okay for me. I'm not 100% against it. And also, it's so small. Yeah, it's fine. There's no strange colours there.
Yeah.
It's quite standard, nice, actually.
Yellow. How would you describe it for anyone that hasn't seen it?
Yellow with a little bit of blue and yellow camouflage detail down the side and on the sleeves.
It's just a standard Claremont kit.
Which is a nod to the Yellow Army, their fan base.
Oh, is that
it? I quite like that. I think that's quite good.
It's not for urban combat situations.
No.
Yeah, it's nice.
So we've got some good stash there. We've already talked about Argentina's beautiful change kit stash that we saw in action against Australia. Namibia,
it looks just like a kit that you buy for your local club.
It's off the rack, that one, isn't
it? Yeah,
it is. A good week for stash, all in all.
Agreed.
Good week for stash.
Oh, and Toulouse have got a kit out.
Have they? Is it BLK again?
It's BLK, and it's got a little fade down the middle.
I bought some Toulouse BLK shorts.
Oh, nice.
They don't have a Toulouse badge on them.
Do they not?
No. I got them from one of the rugby sites online.
That's scandalous.
I know, they were sold as BLK Toulouse shorts. Oh, brilliant. I'll buy a pair of those.
Hang on, have you seen them on the internet? Do they have a Toulouse thing on?
No, but I just assumed that they would do.
I used to have some Toulouse kit. I
didn't look at it very closely.
Loved it. Toulouse makes them beautiful. Well, they always have beautiful kit.
Yeah.
I'm not a massive fan of the USA's kit, moving on to the Pacific Nations Cup. I don't know. In football World Cups, I think USA have quite often had some of the best kits.
Really?
They had that lovely one with the sash.
Yeah, they always have the
diagonal sash thing.
Night kit for their football.
My favourite kit, and I still can't really work out how they got it past whoever makes the kit rules. Do you remember the Mexican goalkeeper with the wings?
Rene Higuita? No, that was Colombian.
Yes,
I know. He took the penalties as well. Yes, the massive... It looks like someone puked on him.
Yes, but when he, like, opened up his arms, he had wings. Like,
oh,
bits.
God, serious?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That must have been banned. That well, you can't have it, that.
You were encroaching your surface area, weren't you?
Wow.
You could have a sumo suit.
Yeah.
But the America kit, not so sure about it. I did, however, love, and I think we haven't busted out this music yet, but I know JB will have loved this as much as I did. Oh, my word. That 14-man maul to score that try for the USA. That was maul porn right there.
It was nice, that wasn't it?
We'd pitch a tent happily and go ride horseback with those 14 guys in that mall. We pushed over for
it's
the
a long night, Tim.
Some big boys as well. For the decisive score against Japan. I predicted Japan would win that, and USA, fair play to them. Was that their... They haven't beaten Japan in years, have they?
Not since the Second World War, no.
Japan are... maybe five or six places above them in the world rankings as well.
Yeah,
so it's
real a real quality team.
Bit of an upset. Although, obviously, the home advantage.
Yeah.
Were you going to watch USA in South Africa? Against South Africa?
USA, South Africa. Maybe. We'll see if we can get tickets.
Yeah, we're thinking of going down. Dan's watching that.
So. It's at Olympic Park, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, good exchange rate on the rand to pound. You get some good cheap beers.
Oh, no, they're there. They're playing in the UK, Tim.
Oh, in the UK? In the World Cup. Oh, my God. I was thinking, is there another warm-up game I'm not aware of?
No.
Fiji v Samoa, and again, a lovely... One of the things we love about rugby, you know, off the field, is the camaraderie of fans. We sit together, we share a beer and a laugh and a joke and all the rest of it. A nice touch again, Fiji and Samoa praying together after the game, all in one big huddle.
Someone needs to educate them on that whole praying stuff. Yeah, if they want to. It's not for me. You see me encouraging it, let's put it that way.
I like the camaraderie of it again. I like it. And what a game.
I've not seen this. I've not caught up with
I've not
all
seen
this yet.
Any of...
Seen the score though, right?
Yeah, yeah, 30 all.
Yeah, and an awesome comeback.
Crazy.
Oh, was it a comeback?
Yeah, there was like Fiji were gone. They were out of sight.
Ah, yeah. Samoa overcame a 17-point deficit in the second half. Wow.
Yeah.
Last gasp. Penalty to level the scores.
This competition's brilliant. I was looking at the rugby championship thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Fiji, Samoa and were involved in this as well? But actually, it's pretty awesome. These six teams, any one of them could win this tournament.
Has Fiji got some sort of international ban of some description on it? Because they're military dictatorship.
Yeah, they have had some issues, haven't they?
Yeah.
And that was what I think...
So they can't play sevens and that sort of banter?
No, they can play sevens. There was, for a short period of time, they were... I can't remember. They've had issues, haven't they?
Yes.
Understandable. So, I did see a bad... it was a tweet from... I can't remember who it was. It was one of the Samoan squad who said they were getting a flight and the Samoan management had all booked themselves first class and all the players were on the... All the massive Samoan players were on budget...
Coach. You do hear some awful things, don't you, about the Samoan Rugby Union. In fact, there was...
the corruption of the...
There was quite an interesting Australian piece about where the Samoan Rugby Union is, like the offices, which is basically at someone's house somewhere, and the amount of money which they've spent, undisclosed amounts of money.
Yeah, and the players basically have to pay for their own travel.
Yeah,
and...
the players' wages, the players' fees haven't gone up since like 1990s.
Yeah.
So whatever they would have been paid then, they're still getting paid
It's like $1,000 Australian yeah. they get for a tour.
Yeah, it needs to be sorted.
Absolutely.
It's got to be sorted.
Yeah.
Now, some news closer to home, and Joe Schmidt has signed a new contract with the Irish Rugby Football Union.
Very nice.
Yeah. 2017, is it?
Yeah.
I never
just
understand
long
this.
Enough. Just long enough to...
To
coach the Lions.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I never understand giving a coach a new contract before the job is done. And the job for me is the World Cup.
Yeah.
Give him the contract after the World Cup, unless they're worried about him doing such a good job, South Africa might want him.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that's the only danger. I can
well, there
see.
Is that all. Or,
I think a lot of clubs would want him.
That's a lot of people would want him. And I think that's an approach, JB, but then... If you have a great working relationship with someone who's already got a track record and made an impact and the players are really happy and everything's positive, is why not send out a message to everyone involved?
Mm.
Like,
This happens.
It doesn't matter what happens. No pressure. You're operating just to win a World Cup. You're not operating to save your job or anything like that.
I see that. But if you have a builder doing your roof and he's not finished your roof yet, you don't finish paying for the job before it's done, and you certainly don't employ him to do the next job and pay for it in advance.
I do think that Schmidt, based on 2 Six Nations, 2 wins, and just the general all-round performance that he has got that team.
He's no Gatland, though, is he?
The World Cup would always be a stretch for Ireland. I think this is the best shot they've ever had at it.
Funny thing with Ireland is every World Cup feels like their best shot.
He's not going to lose his job unless they have an absolute unmitigated disaster.
Who have they got in their group?
They've got France, very beatable. Italy, Canada, Romania.
That's the group?
That's their group.
Who's in New Zealand's group then?
New Zealand, Argentina, beatable. Tonga, Georgia, Namibia.
My word, these groups are very strange.
The England, Wales, Australia group.
That's ridiculous.
Every time you look at it, it gets worse and worse and worse. Especially when you compare it to those others.
And if you do get out of that group, you're not going to be in great shape.
Well, I don't know. There's two changes of thought, isn't there? Like you mentioned South Africa earlier, they're going to have a nice... Basically, they've got a warm-up to the group, to the actual World Cup for them, which is the knockout stages.
Yeah.
And England, Wales or Australia, whoever emerges from that will be like battle-hardened and ready, and they'll have gone through some pretty tough times already.
Yeah, there's battle-hardened, and then there's like going over the top and losing half your squad. because no one's ever played Wales and thought, God, that was easy.
It's like nice.
To be fair, no one's
gently tackled Jamie Robertson. Yeah. Jamie Robertson in full flight. Nice gentle tackle.
Exactly. It's like rucking against combine harvesters. They are so physical.
The only good thing about the England-Wales group is if you win it, you have got an easier... You avoid both South Africa and New Zealand.
Mm.
You take the easier route. You'd play whoever comes second in South Africa's group, say Samoa.
Yep.
And then you'd play the winner, most likely, of France and Ireland's group. So you've got an easier run.
And after the group stage, if England finish top of the group stages, you'll be sitting back as an Englishman. I will be sitting back feeling very, very smug about having to dodge those two bullets till the final.
Yeah, well, Australia are going to... The more I watch Australia, the more I think they're the ones that are going to top the group.
No, I just think England's pack will do them.
Nah.
I don't think there's a better pack in the world.
I do. I think the Welsh pack's better. And I think probably the Irish pack's pretty good.
Wales haven't got a tight head.
They've got... He's recovering.
Tight head.
Wales might have a tight head.
He's currently injured.
He's recovering, and Thomas Francis is pretty good, so let's
do that. Thomas Francis put in a great...
Doncaster's Thomas Francis.
He put in a great performance against Saracens and then got taken apart by Gloucester.
Mm, yeah, Nick Wood, of all people.
Yeah.
The jury is very much out, but we've talked about Wales's failings there. We should... Just while we're on the subject of the World Cup, we completely forgot, in amongst all the chat last week, we completely forgot to continue our A to Z of the Rugby World Cup. So get us back on track, Phil. Where are we at?
PQR, we are at.
Yeah.
Q's a challenge.
It is, isn't it?
I've got one. I've got quite, well, reasonably
Quade
good one.
Cooper ever play?
He did. Do you not remember Quade Cooper?
Oh, is this the New Zealand game?
No, against Wales. Was it Wales or New Zealand? It was in the semi-finals or the third place playoff of the last World Cup, the 2011 World Cup, where he did a massive step with no one around him and ruptured his cruciate ligament.
Oh, yeah!
Glad you found that funny, Phil.
I'm kind of grimacing and laughing at the same time.
But more laughing.
We could embrace the ugly side of rugby, but necessary side of rugby, the whole commercialism of it, and go Qantas Wallabies, but I'm not going to do that.
Why not, Tim? Qantas pay for everything. They ferry the Wallabies around, they give the money to nourish the game from grassroots upwards. You should be fully embracing Qantas.
Spot the raging capitalist in the room.
That's correct.
The one I've got is, and I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Gonzalo Quesada, Argentinian fly half.
Yeah. Yes.
Who top point scored in 99.
He did.
And he has the record, joint record of 8 penalties in a single World Cup match. A single match.
Fact. It's quite good, isn't it?
It is quite good. There's a few people who've done that. So that's
Gonzalo Quesada.
Quesada.
He's in.
Is it? Excellent.
P and R then. I've got one standout R, but...
Okay.
But should we do P then?
P?
Okay. Percy Montgomery.
Percy?
I've got Percy on my list.
I've actually gone for... Because I feel like we're doing just people. I'm trying to move it away from people where possible.
Uh-huh.
So I've gone for Paris, which has hosted Games in the World Cup three times in 91, 99 and 2007, which is the most of any city. Mm-hmm. And obviously the final in 2007.
I was going to say, it was the Millennium Stadium that hosted that match in 07, wasn't it?
It was that match, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That
the match. The problem with Paris is it's not a great rugby city.
It's not a great stadium.
It's not a great city. Full stop. It's like some sort of museum.
It's too busy.
Yeah, and then you go out to the stadium, which is in the middle of nowhere in Saint-Denis, and it's absolutely horrendous.
Have you ever heard of Paris syndrome?
No, what is that? Is that when you get depressed?
It's people go into a state of shock. It's particularly common with Japanese tourists.
Seriously?
This is a genuine medical condition described. So in Japan, Paris is like painted as this idyllic, picturesque town. And Japanese tourists get over there and they go into like a state of shock because it's dirty, noisy,
everyone's rude.
Yeah, loads of homeless.
It's horrible.
People hassling you, trying to sell you stuff. And they do go into it is similar to like post-traumatic stress disorder.
I don't think we should put Paris in for that simple reason.
Yeah.
And also, it's not traditionally a rugby town. All this rugby is really played in the south.
In the south.
So you've got this little enclave.
And
Racing are a relatively recent addition to the rugby landscape. Actually, to a certain degree, so are Stade Francais.
Hmm.
Let's go with Percy, unless someone can tell us anything different.
Yeah.
And Rugby Podcast on Twitter, if there's a better P. And it's very selfish as an Englishman, but I just thought Jason Robinson might be a shout.
Robinson was incredible in both 2003
and 07.
In 07, do you not remember? He pulled his hamstring in the first game and everyone thought he was out and they like had him sleeping in an oxygen chamber or whatever the hell they do to get these players fit. Whatever they think
what
works.
What they did in 2003.
Yeah.
But we got back to the
final.
Exactly, but I'm very much willing to accept a different suggestion.
I like Robinson.
I'm a big fan of his. Huge fan, in fact.
Let's put him in.
Cool.
Jason Robinson, incidentally, has been saying that
Sam Burgess... you were talking about Nicky Robinson.
Sam Burgess has got the backing of Jason Robinson.
What does that possibly mean? How do they know each other? All right, they have no similar skill sets. They don't play in the same position. They don't live in the same area. They don't play for the same club. They don't even play the same position. The only thing they've got in common is they both played Union and League.
Jason Robinson said, I sympathise a lot with where Sam's at and I know what he's going through, blah, blah, blah. He said, I made the England team in 3 months of my cross-code change and then a Lions tour in 4. So it can be done.
So, I get it. It's a humble brag.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I see where he's coming from. I mean, I made it in 3 months and then last time 4. What can you do, eh? Tough.
It is different as a winger. It's very different.
How do you sympathise with the man who's earning £1.3 million over 3 years?
£1.5 million?
Yeah, over 3 years.
Who is literally half his weight in gold.
Yes, quite frankly.
Yeah, as we've learned before. Yeah,
I really sympathise with a 6'5", fairly handsome chap, earning £1.5 million, who happens to be friends with Russell Crowe. I sympathise with that guy.
Bruce Craig.
And Bruce Craig, he knows Bruce Craig.
I'm just one thing maybe to leave with. There's a picture from the England training in Denver, and it's of David Wilson running full tilt and his effort face. You ready for this?
Wow. That's a little bit like Brad Barrett in that picture.
Yeah.
Did you see any of the... There was some video that released by England Rugby of them playing American football in a warm-up. And he did a really nice little celebration, like scores a touchdown.
Of course.
Slams and a little dance. Slams the ball down, a little dance.
Are we done?
How long have we done?
We've done time, no problem with time. That's just put bang on.
I think we're done.
Yeah. I think we're done, gents.
Awesome.
Phil, you can get back to your hangover.
Yes. Oh, go and rehydrate, refuel.
I'm going back to the gym.
What?
Well, there's, you know, there's players to scout. Got a little tape measure. We'll be measuring biceps and stuff.
Purple Aki.
That's only a reference anyone in the Northwest would know. But well, yeah, Purple Aki is one of those local legends.
The Northwest and Glastonbury, where it's completely okay to fly the flag of male rapists because that's cool. Have you not seen that?
There was a Purple Aki.
Oh yeah, that's right. A flag in Glastonbury of the year.
Imagine if I just started waving flags of known rapists.
Well,
crikey.
Is he definitely been done for that?
Well, whatever. It's sexual offenders.
He's got a few convictions.
last arrested
for
in
sexual offences, maybe.
Last arrested in my hometown of Llandudno.
Uh oh. Is he looking for you?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've got my Jimmy Savile flag for the World Cup, so you know why not.
You did so well at keeping it all PC and above board, then JB. never mind. Right, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We'll be back next week. Is there any rugby between now and then other than the Pacific Championship?
Next round of rugby championship.
Surely.
No, it's 2 weeks.
Is it 2 weeks? August 15th, right? Okay, yeah.
So any ideas for stuff we can do on a week of very little rugby, let us know. But at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, listen via Acast, subscribe on iTunes, we'll leave your messages there and we'll see you next time. Nice one, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.